You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Thursday, July 13th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, and the King Scott Angle. I am Greg Sussman. Happy Thursday to you all. Happy to be here. Excited to get going on a Thursday. Today on the program, we'll talk a little baseball, since baseball is, of course, returning tomorrow. We'll continue our series of how well everybody knows what's going on in the first half. We'll move on to pitchers today. We've been talking about players with similar names. We had the Williams yesterday. The day before, we had our tiebreakers. Today, we're doing one of my favorite similar names, and that's all the Devontaes in the league. So we'll get into the Devontaes no matter how it's spelled. Look forward to that. We'll have a nice strategy discussion here in hour number one today. Corey, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's the deal with you, Greg? How's everything going?
Everything's good, but man, what about yourself?
Can't complain. I cannot complain at all. Feeling pretty good. Had a good night last night, so ready to rock and roll.
Beautiful. Scotty, how are you, man?
I'm doing very good. Corey's got his package published, and, you know, if you go to Seahawks.com this morning, I'm very proud to say that I have the lead story on the site. It says Scott Engel of RotoExperts.com returns to Seahawks.com for his seventh season covering fantasy football and gives his quarterback primer. So very proud to see that this morning. My seventh season covering fantasy football for RotoExperts.com on Seahawks.com. And if you go to the article, there's a very special promo code for our exclusive Edge package.
Oh, is it Susmania?
No.
Oh.
I only know Susmania.
That would have been nice to plug.
Go to Seahawks.com, check it out.
You get unless you change it to Susmania. I am not as interested, by the way.
But my Seahawks affiliation has coincided with Russell Wilson's. He started with the Seahawks in 2012, and so did I.
Huh. Oh my would you say you're
Russell Wilson, number one overall.
This is unbelievable.
Would you say you're as important?
What's that?
Would you say as
no,
you're as...
No, okay. But it's very, very cool to be have Roto Experts and myself as a lead story on the Seahawks official website this morning.
Ah, interesting. So, yeah, Russell Wilson is now sixth off his board after being second just a couple of months.
He was
ago.
Never second.
Oh, that is false.
That was an error. I told you that last time we discussed it.
I'm just saying.
He was never second on my board.
Just saying.
I would have never told anybody to draft him second.
You did on this show.
It was an error. It has been corrected.
You can't say you never tell anybody because you did.
All right, I'm gonna invoke the fantasy executive. I'm human, Greg. Can I make mistakes?
Yeah, no, it's no problem making a mistake.
I appreciate it.
The projection did not come out quite as I wanted it to. I rank him sixth.
No problem at all. Yeah, that sounds absolutely perfect. Matty Mo, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. I got some good sleep. To quote Kool and the Gang, it's too hot, you know. So
gotta run for cover.
Yeah, there you go. You wanted to sing it. You wanted to finish it off, Scotty.
Yeah, that was coming.
But it's going to be like 95 in the city, so it's going to be god awful.
Very hot. So as everybody knows, I'm going away today. And you know who's following me?
Trump.
Our President of the United States following me along. Yay me. When we come back, we'll talk some strategy. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Right back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're hanging out, and so last night I made sure I did. I watched. Oh, it seems like you have a voicemail.
Scott.
I know you expected it to be you, but
yeah, maybe it was Russell Wilson.
Maybe because he heard him compare themselves.
Yeah, Scott, Russell Wilson was the ESPYs last night.
Yeah.
So that's what I was getting into. So and you, the ESPYs are
on. He's hosting the Nickelodeon Awards again too. Yeah.
Did you see him?
No, I didn't watch the ESPYs.
Were you okay. Never mind. I'm not gonna say that.
You probably will at some point.
You know, I'm not. Before the end of the show, I'm not gonna be able to help myself.
So just get it out.
Jeopardize my career today, but it is what it is. For the laugh,
you do that every day.
For the laugh, I'm gonna have to get it out there. Go ahead though.
So you mentioned the ESPYs even briefly, and I wind up only on my Twitter timeline last night seeing ESPYs. And like, you know what? You know what I'm not gonna watch. The effing ESPYs. Because this is just a joke of a show, and there's
it's not nice.
There's nothing interesting that comes out of this nonsense besides Peyton Manning making fun of Kevin Durant, which is hysterical.
Do you think that was staged?
Yes. It was
like the whole reaction.
It was a joke that was written by a comedian, and without question, Kevin Durant knew that it was coming. There's no way ESPN pisses off Kevin Durant.
No. You know what I'm saying?
So. Yes, and you know, in layman's terms, yes, I believe it was staged. So I watched none of it, and I wound up actually spending my time doing some work and writing my chapter for Benny's book and finishing it off, and I'm excited to email that to him today. And, of course, Benny's definitive guide to fantasy football will be out in the coming month or so. So you'll find myself in there. And when I was writing about something, I realized I wanted to bring it to our table, especially because, Corey, you and I had a conversation yesterday, and that was in regards to drafting. And in particular, the auction draft. And Corey and I had a conversation yesterday. I wrote a ton of words about it. And I feel very passionately about it. And that is why more people don't do the auction when it comes to fantasy football. Like, I get it. It's not nearly as popular as it is in fantasy baseball, and it's not prevalent around the industry. And I guess my first question before we get into the strategy of it all, and we'll certainly talk to Corey about his auction draft for a couple of days ago, but Sky, let's start with you. Why isn't it nearly as prevalent as I believe it should be?
It's, you know, we talked about this last week, and my angle's pretty much the same on it, is that, you know, that the mainstream is just used to the draft. You know, the NFL drafts, in a certain fashion, and fantasy football tries to replicate that, although it puts a snake twist on it. Auctions are really, you know, born out of fantasy baseball, and they're much more intense. They're much more comprehensive. Fantasy football, the average fantasy football owner wants to keep it simple. Auctions are for, like, intense guys with us who are willing to play IDP, you know, do things like that. It's more work. It's longer. It's not perceived to be quite as easy. It's more management. And the average fantasy football player just doesn't want to put any more management into it than they do. You talk to the average fantasy football player that doesn't play baseball, and they say, I don't want to play baseball. It's too much work. They like fantasy as it is, fantasy football the way it is, and I'm just talking about the mainstream player here.
Right, and I know you and I had the conversation. You agree that it's the most fair way to do it, and you agree that, listen, we all should be doing it, but the mainstream player isn't as into it.
Yeah, I think Scott really nailed it. With that, you know, people want it just to be easier. It's more strategic. It's more budgeting money. Know that, like Corey says, he knows what he's going to spend on wide receivers, what he's going to spend on running backs, and go from there. I do think, though, it is starting to pick up some steam. I think RT Sports does a fantastic job. We had Andy Saxon on yesterday on Football Frenzy, and he does a great job running these leagues. And if you want to get in on it and get a taste of it, I think it's something you should do. It's priced right and stuff like that. And it's fun. It really is fun. I'll probably do one or two. I'm more heavily – I just don't want to do so many leagues, and I'm committed to, I don't know, like 7-8 leagues already. So, but it'll probably be one or two auctions I'll do this year.
Corey, you did an auction this week. I know you walked out of it feeling like you dominated, and it's just simply too easy for you at this point.
You nailed it. Okay, go ahead.
What made, you know, what did you enjoy about this auction so much?
I like the fact that you can you can put it together the way you want to put it together. You know what I'm saying? So when I'm in it, I kind of feel like the rest of the other 11 dudes are at my mercy. Like, I'm going to get my team. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to find the value. I'm going to have all the guys that I really like. So that's kind of how I go into it. I like the idea of me being able to, you know what I'm saying, do exactly what it is I want to do and put the best team together.
Now, I got a question for you, Corey. Now, say you had whatever the number is, $100 on wide receivers.
Yeah.
Now, say you had somebody at $30, and that was like, that's what you figured, you know, was his high point. Are you willing to go, like, say, 32 and then take off a couple of dollars on
that
second guy?
And then
I think that's important.
The positions where I'm most likely to drop down in the salary I allocate to spend is obviously the quarterback, the tight end, and the flex position.
So it's interesting, and let's get into the strategy behind it now. In the book, I write that basically something Corey and I talked about yesterday, that I want to spend $110 or so on my best players, right? What you said, on your two best players for $110, your three best players?
About my three.
Your three best players, yeah. You want to spend $110. I was always a little bit different. I wanted, on my two best players, I was willing to spend $100. And my third best player is not going to be $10. So I was willing to spend $100 to get my two best players because I am always going to be aggressive in going out and getting them. Now, Corey, you feel 110 for three. So that, on average, we're talking is, what, 35 or so, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give it, I mean, 36, 37, whatever. Yeah. So is that, when you're paying 37 at an auction, most auctions have a $200 cap.
Yeah.
That is not nearly enough to go get David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, Antonio Brown. That is not going to get those guys for you.
I don't need them.
Okay, how come?
I don't need them because I can build a balanced roster with players that I like that I can get for a little bit cheaper. So I feel as if, you know, and then I'm always going to find the mistake for the most part. Like, I missed it with the one this week with Andy got Devontae Adams for $26. Like, normally I would pick that up right away. I would cash that and be like, okay, this is a guy that's undervalued. So when I get him, I don't need him because he's going to bring back $40 return. You feel what I'm saying? So that allows me to spend up a little bit more someplace else. So that's kind of why I think one of my things is, the way I look at it, I'm always going to find that player that's mispriced. You feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like last year when we did the flex auction, I think I got like T.Y. Hilton for like $19. And I had no, I was not going in there looking for T.Y. Hilton, but when I saw it stop at 19, I was like, bam, I'm on it. And then that allowed me to spend up at, you know, at other positions.
Yeah, and it's also important to know the room you're in.
Absolutely.
Like, in this draft, Antonio Brown went for 50.
Okay.
Come September at the live auction, I think he's going for a minimum of 55. It maybe even a little higher. I mean, I've experienced that a couple of years back when I did it. The top guys at the positions are going to get pushed up when you're sitting in, say a live event. And even in your home league. There's going to be a guy that wants David Johnson on his team. And he's going to be willing to pay whatever.
Yeah, no question about that. I remember last year in the league that I was in, the guy that wanted David Johnson. He comes up, he wasn't even looking at the price. He was just pressing it was an online auction. And he was pressing the button, pressing the button. And the price did not matter. And listen, as I write, like, if you want a guy, you go for it. Like, budgets be damned, basically. If you are desperate, that desperate for a guy like David Johnson, like, you absolutely should go all in and go for him. I will never, ever criticize someone for being aggressive in an auction and going after the player they want. Specifically, Scotty, when it comes to when you budget a player, right? We all want to plan for drafts. We plan as precipitously as possible and as intensely as possible. And in an auction, more so than a snake, like, everyone's available for you. So you don't have to plan like, oh, this guy won't be here, this guy will be here, whatever. You can plan it for every player. So what I like to do is come up with a bit of a budget or a range for every single player on the board. And I never, ever, ever have a problem. If I have a guy, we'll use Devontae Adams, let's say, and I have a $25 amount for him, if I want him and he's at 28, you know what? I don't care about the extra $3. I will adjust on the fly. And I think that is extremely important to remember in an auction that, listen, you budget, but your budgets are meant to be broken.
Yeah, that's your approach. There are different approaches. You know, you read Brandon Murchison's auctions primer in the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter the King for a
No. We are entering code on this show.
No, I'm talking right now, so it's the King.
Yes. I can quickly stop that. Susmania!
The King is your promo code. Anyhow, he talks about there are different kinds of drafters. And this goes back to fantasy baseball, where it's born out of. Some auction drafters have the opinion that if other people in the room go above their charted values that they're making a mistake, and certain guys do not want to go above their value, and they will say, okay, if that guy goes off above my projected value, I'm fine with the next guy. So they're different approaches. You have to decide what your personal approach is when you go in.
Speaking of personal approaches, exactly what you said is what I write totally against in this book. We're going to talk about exactly what you just said about, you don't get this guy, get the next guy. Talk about that strategy when we return here on the Road to Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes. Scotty likes to be very clear that there are 1,000 ways to skin a cat, and many, many, and even more ways to win a fantasy league. And it's true. You really can. But, you know, I mentioned a second ago that I think it's important that if you like a guy, and you have a budget of $25 for him, do not be afraid, do not be hesitant to just screw it and go 26, 27, 28. Scotty brought the opinion up that, listen, there's always the next guy. You don't need to get caught up. And I don't put words in your mouth, Scotty, but that's
right? Some people's stance is not necessarily mine.
What is yours then?
Mine is more with you.
Oh, you're okay.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, that Brandon's article points out that, you know, there are different ways to attack it. Some people want to do like we do.
Yep.
Be very aggressive. Other people want to be balanced. Some people will stick to their values. And we were talking about this is born out of fantasy baseball, too, as auctions are. You know, Larry Schechter, you know, when he wrote his book, you know, talked about I'm not going above a cent above any of my values. It's worked for me, and I believe that other people that do that are making a mistake.
Now, that and that's totally fair. So my point is that I write here, and Corey, you can let me know this is true in your auction this week. You have tiers, and that's the most important thing you could possibly do in preparing for any draft, I believe, and that's coming up with your tiers. The first guy in that tier, I don't care if it's the Antonio Brown tier, I don't care if it's the Devontae Adams tier. The first guy in that tier that is off the board is going to set a price, basically, right? And he's going to set that price, and let's just say we'll use Devontae Adams again. And Devontae Adams is the first guy off in that tier, and he winds up going for the $25 that I mentioned just a moment ago. As that tier get smaller and smaller and smaller, people get more desperate and desperate and desperate. You can have this thought that, listen, all right, you know what? Devontae Adams went for $2 more than I wanted to. I'm going to get the next guy in the tier, which happens to be Demaryius Thomas. Well, all of a sudden, this tier is one spot smaller, and everybody at this table, if you're just being real with yourself and honest, everybody probably has a relatively similar tier to you. Not exactly. You're probably higher on some guys than others.
Similar in a lot of ways. Yeah.
But similar in a lot of ways. The same general idea. But as this tier gets smaller, and you don't have players, and you don't have good players, you get more desperate to pay for them. And when you get desperate, the price goes up. So instead of spending the most on the better player, you are spending most on the last player.
Yeah, that's the point. I mean, when you say, I can wait for the next guy, if you get caught standing there with too much money and you're not spending it, and these tiers are going off, you're paying a higher price on lesser players. So I think at some point you have to be willing to make an adjustment and say, look, I have to go $3 above my price point here. I need to lock in one of these top five guys here, one of these top guys, however you have your board set up, however it means to you. Because at some point, you know, it's great to have a hammer, but if you have a hammer and you're buying lesser talented guys, and, you know, the price is going to, like you say, during an auction, you see, oh, wow, that guy went for that sure. amount of money because there was nobody. He was the last guy of that, as you mentioned, that tier or the best player available. So I think you have to feel the flow. I agree with Scott. I like to be a little more aggressive. I mean, I don't want to blow all my money early and have a bunch of $1 or $2 players. that's not the way to do it. But I don't think you can just sit back to a point and say, don't worry, I'll get the next guy. Because at some point, that next guy is not worth it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's you. Another thing about it is you have to be aggressive. You feel what I'm saying?
That's one of the parts of my chapter.
You cannot be timid when you're in an auction. You have to be aggressive like the fantasy executive. You know what I'm saying? You can't sit back and say, oh, I'm going to wait to jump in. I'm going to wait for this. I'm going to wait for that. If you got one of your players, you got to know your guys. When they come off the board, get after them. You feel what I'm saying? Because yep. Scared money don't make money.
I totally agree with that. Because what I think the biggest mistake that people make in auction drafts is finding or being in search of the best deal. Not the best players. The best deal. They are so hesitant to spend money and too conservative and too timid, which is the perfect word that Corey used, to spend some cash that they want to... always believe that something is better on the other side. Something is always better coming up a little bit later. You have so much money left, perhaps in the middle to the end of your draft. What are you going to spend it on? You get to a point when some of the best players are off the board, and thus you're waiting around for the right deal. And Scotty, the right deal is never going to come.
It's the right deal will come, but you just don't know when it's going to come. No. You'll sit back in a draft and you go, oh, wow, I can't believe I just landed that player for $3. But you can't sit back and predict when it's going to happen. It falls in somebody's lap later in the draft.
Yes, no, right? Like, you don't know when the best deals are coming. I believe that as you wait and wait and wait, you'll get to a point where this deal's never good enough for you, and you always think you can do better because there's always other guys on the board, until you realize, oh, crap, there isn't anybody left on the board.
Right.
That is my biggest fear.
Yeah, and I think that's a lot of people's biggest fear, too, when you talk about the tiers and when people go on runs. I mean, you may see, like, quarterbacks nominated, like, 4 or 5 in a row, and people would get aggressive. I think it's mostly the style of the room to be aggressive more than less aggressive people, although those less aggressive people certainly do exist in the room.
Well, here's the point. You don't want to be paying number 2 wide receiver prices on a number 3 wide receiver. So if you're sitting back, okay, you got the 3 best number 3 wide receivers. I don't want to walk away from an auction with that. You know, I want to have at least maybe 1 top guy, 1 second guy, and 1 third guy. That's how I want to pretty much manage it. Or it, at worst, maybe I get 3 number 2s. You know, I don't want to pay number 2 wide receiver and I'm getting number 3s. You know, you have to be willing to... You have to see that break. You have to see when that tier is starting to run out.
You have to see when it's going to run out, and then you have to get aggressive in the middle of it. Because when it's the last guy in the tier, remember, you're not the only guy that notices that. And maybe you have it a little bit differently than the guy next to you and a little bit differently than the guy next to him. Realize everyone is seeing what you're seeing, and if you're not aggressive and you are timid and you are waiting, you are going to miss out on what you actually want.
Tiers is a good way to go into the auction
too.
Yeah, it's because you gotta have those tiers, and you gotta have the people that's in that price point, and then this way you can know, you know, like you said, you know when that drop is coming. So and you can keep a track of your money also. And I will say this, I'll be honest with you, you know what I mean? A lot of people feel different ways and stuff like that. But when you are in an auction, that draft apps that calculate the money for you, you need to download one of them because they really, really are a big, big help.
Yeah, fantasypros.com actually has one of those, an auction calculator. It's part of their Draft Wizard.
Yeah. Cool.
By the way, you can now go to our homepage and use the Fantasy Pros Mock Draft Simulator. It's a lot of fun.
You can do that, and you can also go to the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package by using the promo code SUSMANIA. And also, even more important than that, you can use by the Executive Edge Package. I know some of our watchers on the Fantasy BFFs purchased the Executive Edge Package yesterday, Corey.
Oh, that's cool. That's what's up. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to them. You know what I mean? Promo code FRENZY. Get down with it. Yeah.
Yes.
I suppose so.
Hey, high five.
High five.
I do like the picture of you. Very hard look.
Yeah, well, like me smiling is not really, you know what I'm saying? It's not really, When I smile, I look like a geek. You know what I'm saying? So when I keep a straight face,
but
everybody.
Straight face, you look like a geek too.
No, when I'm straight face, that's sexual chocolate. You feel what I'm saying? That's young Billy D. Scott.
You must
Scott,
got stop young hating. Billy
it's
D.
Too
Johnson.
Early. It's you, too early for you,
you
to try be hating
so
on me,
hard
Scott.
Not to be a
stop
nerd.
Hating.
Yeah, you're on your
Why
computer,
you hating
your
on
phone.
Me? Why
more
you
than
stop
anybody
hating
I know,
on me, Scott? Stop hating on me.
You must have got picked on a lot going on.
I'm tired of you.
Corey's the geek.
1984, Scott. What happened to you in 1984, Scott? Sorry, Greg, but I'm not gonna let this chump come after me today.
Nerds rule the world.
I don't know what's. What?
Oh, everybody's a nerd, especially Corey. He's on his computer and his phone all the time. He's a technology geek.
Nah, I'm trying to get laid.
Keep trying.
Is that working for
you? It's not so. I mean, I kind of do what I want to do.
You do your thing.
Yeah, I do what I. You know, however I feel right now, I'm focusing on fantasy football.
Yes, of course, I understand that. So kind of wrapping up the auction draft. When we come back, we're getting the snake draft a little bit, and Matt wants to point out how very little things can change everything. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But wrapping up the auction draft strategy, do you guys have any opinion? I wrote a little bit about this. Do you guys have any opinion? And of course, I'll go with you. You just had the auction this week about nominations, who you nominate.
Yeah,
and why.
See, it depends. Early on, I like to nominate the dude. Like you, every auction that I'm in, the very first person that I'm going to nominate is Rob Gronkowski. Because I have zero interest in Rob Gronkowski. So Rob Gronkowski goes right out there to the Wolves. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, you play with him. That's your guy, your frat buddy. You can have him. My next nomination, Eddie Lacy. Want no parts of him. You go ahead, you can have him. If Scott's in the auction, bid him up to $50. You know what I'm saying?
You know, will you stop making things up? I said the guy was a good 5th to 7th round pick.
Is he on your team? All right? Did you draft him this morning?
In the 5th round. I didn't take him in the 1st. Proper context.
I don't want to get off the track of the show, Scott. We can get into it.
And I can show you. You're making up lies to start out. You're saying I'm a bid $50 on Eddie Lacy. I said Eddie Lacy, I'll take him in the 5th to 7th round.
All right. Here's the thing, right? I'm not lying because you took him in the 5th round.
Right.
So it was no lie being told.
No, you said I would bid $50 on him.
Right.
That's a lie.
You're not.
You try to make it sound part, every time part, because I don't bash Lacy like everybody else that I have him as like a 1st or 2nd round pick. I don't. Come correct if you're going to come at me, son.
So now he
I just sunned you. I just sunned you.
Now he's showing off. Yeah. All right, so bet. Here's the thing, right? We can go through this and we can break it down, and I could probably find 4 running backs that he left on the board I like better than Eddie Lacy.
I know nobody's allowed to have a different opinion than yours, though.
We can discuss it.
Anyway, my point was that is not the point.
Exactly.
You can have your rankings, it is what it is.
Throw out players that you don't want.
So
you got to mix it up, though, too.
So that's what I was going to say.
That's where I wanted to go as well. Yeah. And you have a theory that is the most popular one. Throw out players you don't want. And I understand that.
But then it changes.
But I have a bit of a twist on that. So let's get into that when we come back. We'll talk about some snake strategies as well. Roto Experts in the Morning, Draft Strategy Hour number 1. Stick around. Be back right after the hit.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one when you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA Inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
We are back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey, Scott, and Matt alongside today. And we mentioned just a moment ago that Corey said, I nominate Rob Gronkowski, I nominate Eddie Lacy, I nominate these players that I have zero interest in. And that is, if you look at any auction article, everybody will say that when you nominate. Nominate guys you don't want, let other people spend their money. But here's the thing with that, at least that I have found. When you do that, and I get it, right? You want everyone to just waste money and spend money and lower their budgets. I understand all that. But there's only one person spending money there. There are 10 other guys besides you in that room that aren't spending a damn dime on any of these players. If you can nominate Rob Gronkowski, you can have this whole bidding war, but you know what? Only one guy is getting Rob Gronkowski. And it doesn't really matter when Gronk's going to be nominated, in my opinion, because you're not going to spend on him then anyway.
Well, I also think, too, early on, there's certain players, like in baseball, football, whatever auction I'm doing, that are kind of like foundation players, core players that I want to have on my team. And I want to know if I'm going to get that guy or not, and if I have to adjust. So I do want to throw out somebody I want within my first three nominations or something like that to see if he's going to be a part of my team or if I have to adjust from that guy and take maybe the second or third guy that I have.
So I have found that to be a bit more aggressive early in the nomination where I'm going to nominate my guy and be like, listen, if what I just said a little while ago is true and people are less likely to be aggressive early and they want to wait for the next deal, I throw my guy early, there's a good chance I'm going to get a better price on him than I would have if I waited and waited and waited and let everybody else wait alongside with me. So for me, I like to nominate. I used to be like everybody else, nominate all these players I don't want, let everybody spend their money. And instead, I've kind of switched it up.
You know, sometimes when you throw out the guy you want, though, a lot of other people may want that guy, and you may end up in a bidding war necessarily. What I like to do is, I like to do the same as Corey. Throw out guys that I don't want that are going to have a high price. But later on, when I really need to build my roster and I really want certain guys in the player pool starting to dry up a little bit, I'll throw out the guys I want and aggressively go after them because I'm going to say, you know, I'm at a point now where I can't wait too much longer for this guy and I want him.
Yeah, but I want to know if I'm going to have that guy. I want to know early on if that's going to be a member of my team.
Okay.
Or if I have to go a different direction.
I'm with you like that, but I can wait for somebody to throw his name out and just go aggressively after it.
But the thing is, you talked about like you could wind up in a bidding war.
Yeah, you could end up in a bidding war later, too. Exactly. There could be another guy that's like, you know what, it feels the same way you feel about that guy.
The other people can be desperate, a little bit more desperate later on when there's less players on the board.
Well, I think in a lot of auctions, though, you tend to see like a lot of the big names thrown out early.
Yeah, but I think sometimes you get some of the best bargains early on.
That's my biggest thing.
And that's why you be aggressive.
Yeah,
you be aggressive right there.
I'm kind of like in the middle there. That's why I'll throw out guys I don't want, but when the guys I do want come up, then I'll be aggressive.
My point is, I think we should be nominating players that you do want rather than... Because only one person is going to spend money on Rob Gronkowski, right? And nobody wants Gronk. Only one person is spending money on them. Uno. Just saying.
Yeah, I mean, if you look in the auction that Corey did, I believe Jordan Reed was like the first person thrown out, and he went for $14. Rob Gronkowski went for $25. I don't think there's a $11 difference between these two players.
I agree with you 100% on that. You feel what I'm saying? But when you talk about Jordan Reed, you do talk about the injury history that comes with the play also.
But, I mean, Jimmy Graham went for $14 as well. So I'll put that. I mean, much as I like Jimmy Graham this year, if I'm going to pay $14, I'd rather have Jordan Reed.
Sure. No question about that.
That makes sense.
The other nomination that I like to prove early is with kickers and defense. I feel very strongly about this. In that, when we do a snake draft, right, your kicker and defense are your last
Justin
two picks.
Justin Tucker, baby.
For me, they're my last two picks. I'm not worrying about Justin Tucker in a snake draft. But in an auction, Justin Tucker very well may be my first nomination. Because to me, if I can get my Justin Tucker for a dollar, fantastic. If you can wind up spending, and you outbid my dollar, good for you. You just spent $2 or $3 or $4.
I see this happen in baseball, too. And it's like... It's like, look, there's no correct way to do. We all have different strategies. You have to decide what's right to do. But, like, I'll see it in baseball, too. People want to spend the big money early. And if you throw out somebody that's not going to spend a lot of money, and you say a dollar on a certain guy and nobody else bids up for him, you may end up with just a real bargain. Like in baseball, you know, when everybody else is bidding up Stanton and, you know, Sale and everybody, you throw out Jared Dyson. Nobody wants to spend a dollar on him right then, but they'll spend $7 on him later in the draft when steals people are desperate for it. And the same idea is true in football.
So here's the thing. I'm that guy you're talking about, Greg. You put out Justin Tucker for a dollar, I'm going $2 and I'm going to go get
him. That guy.
Because I'm going to see if you're going to go three. You feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
Because I'm going to see if you're going to go three. I'm not going to let the big time kickers, the big time defenses, I'm not going to let them go past me. Mm-hmm. They over there smiling at me, you know what I'm saying? Giggling as soon as the hen mother walked back. So I'm not going to let them go past me. So if you throw out the Seahawks for a buck, you think you're being slick? I'm slicker. I'll pay the extra dollar for it. I don't care.
You will pay the extra dollar.
Because I'm going to find the value anyway. You feel what I mean?
Justin talking to me is the one kicker I would want. I might even say three if you say one. Just so I secure.
It's very interesting.
I mean, the guy, look, he's proven. He hits his percentage. He nails kicks.
I'm all wrapped up.
And beyond 50, I mean, he is the man.
So I do want to make clear how the auction works. I got a couple of questions on Twitter about it. Listen, you get into an auction, everybody has $200. And you nominate any player you want. It could be from David Johnson to Justin Tucker. You can nominate any player you want. You have a bidding process, and you know, I'll throw $3, Mac can throw $4. This is online or in person, and you spend whatever you want, and basically you can spend $185 on one player, and you have $1 for everybody else. But that's how it works, basically, and that's kind of the consensus behind it.
Yeah, I agree with Corey, though. Like, Rob Gronkowski should be one of the first people thrown out. Let people see if they want to pay that. Aaron Rodgers should be another guy.
You're right.
Throw out Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Because you're going to see he's going to go for, as he did in Corey's draft, he's going to go for an exuberant amount.
For $28,000.
And you're going to get guys like, you know, Breeze and Brady for $10 or $12 less.
Yeah. She just growled at me. No, yeah. But she was like,
"Yo, man, don't look up."
You heard that? Nah, let me not. So peep it, right? Pay $28 for Aaron Rodgers, and then my second ranked quarterback, Tom Brady, goes for $19. Come on, man. You can't do that. Like, you can't, let's not overvalue these quarterbacks, basically, is what I'm trying to say. But also, so don't jump on the first one off the board. Like, everybody knows how I like Jameis Winston. So on a couple auctions I do this year, I'll probably get bit up on Winston. You feel what I'm saying? But I'll leave you stuck with him. I don't care, because I'll just go get my other son, Tyrod.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. Like, if you have a backup quarterback, quarterback number two, you probably can get him for cheap early on. Because everybody's going to be focused on those.
The big names.
The big 12 that they have, the top 12 guys. So if there's somebody you like, for a couple of dollars, you'll usually be able to get that guy.
Yep.
That's kind of the auction strategy, and a good primer on that. When it comes to the snake drafts, I mean, we talk about snake drafts every day. And listen, you could win from really banging on this keyboard.
We got to try
to focus, Greg.
You got
to
get it. He got to get it done.
He's sending things to Jerry Colvin right now about this stupid Jose Peraza trade. All I keep seeing on Twitter.
thanks.
About what's going on in the show.
This is what's going on in the show. You're tweeting on the show. You're like Jake.
there was like a memo like months ago, like, focus what's on the show.
Right, so that's you. We're having a conversation. You're in here.
And I'm listening to the conversation. I'm multitasking. You know, kind of like you watching, you know, baking shows and listening
goodness.
To Bieber
at
the same time.
That was a bit personal. I'm talking about on the show.
Get personal.
I'm talking about what's on the show. I want to have a conversation with you. I want to look you in the eye and be able to talk to you. Thank you.
You diffused me. That was nice.
Aww.
I'm sorry.
Hey, it's okay. Don't worry about it. So we were talking about snake drafts.
I'm sorry.
No worries about it. We were talking about auctions. I want to get into the snake draft now. Scotty, the reason I wanted to bring you into this is because you have said, and I've asked you this question many, many times before, where I have some draft spot I don't like, right? Like, let's say 8 overall, let's say, in this year's draft. I don't want to be there. So I have made offers to friends in leagues, and like, I want to trade up. I want to trade down. I want to do this. And every time I bring an offer to you, you always say, no, stop. What are you doing? This is not an important thing to do. You can win from anywhere. There is, yes, number one gets David Johnson. Yes, number 12 has a wraparound.
Right.
But even though you're an 8, you can win wherever you are. You feel very passionately about that.
Yes.
Rather than trading draft picks, you think, listen, I'm going to stay in my spot, and I will figure it out from here.
Only once in the history of fantasy football have I ever traded up to get a guy.
One time in a Hall of Fame career.
Dante Culpepper.
Stunk that year too, right?
No.
Oh, you did?
I went undefeated that year. Oh. And when you do that, you could let me know.
Oh. Yeah.
But it's so interesting. Yeah.
That was 20 years ago.
One time.
So you brag about the Yankees from 90 years ago.
One time in your
guy
life,
just started
you
winning,
traded
talking
up,
crap.
Scotty.
Yeah.
And you went undefeated. Why haven't you done it again?
Not in that particular league. I was like 14-1 in that league.
Right.
Went undefeated in another league that same year. But just like I felt so aggressively like I wanted Culpepper that year, and he didn't turn out quite like he wanted to be, and I had to trade to get another quarterback. I just like I felt like I learned my lesson that year, and I'm never going to do it
again. So if something didn't work out one time, you...
I was never a fan of it.
I know you're not.
For the beginning, it wasn't that. It was the exception to the rule.
Okay. Matt, do you feel a bit differently in that in draft spots? Like, if you have a spot that you really prefer, would you go out? I know you're playing a lot of non-training leagues, but would you go out and make that trade?
Yeah, no. If there's a player or a couple of players I want that I know I won't get at, say, 10 that I could get if I have 5 or 6, then, yeah, I'm willing to do that. But it all depends. Where I'm picking is going to change my strategy a lot. So I'm going to have an idea of where guys go. Look, that's not cemented, but I'm going to have an idea where people are going. So
I feel, like I said, not that I can't win from any spot. Scott's right. You can. But
it's better places to be in the draft.
Exactly.
It's better places to be in the draft. This year is a prime year where you can see that the good teams, in my opinion, are getting in that 8, that 7 to 10 range is where I'm seeing a lot of the real good teams come from. Like that online championship you did, Matt, you had the 8th pick. That team is phenomenal. And the thing I like about that 8 spot, you can go to bell. You can rock the bell cow theory from that 8 spot, and I like that a lot.
Yeah, absolutely, because you got a big-time wide receiver and a bell cow, which is what's really awesome about that 8 to 10 spot. When we come back, Matt's going to tell you how just one pick can change everything. Stick around. Road to Express the Morning continues after this.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
And we're back here on the Roto Experts the morning, just a couple minutes away from going live on the television screen. And we picked a lot of strategies here, hour number one. We barely mentioned a single player, which is awesome, because I love getting into these types of conversations. Matt, you made it clear just a couple moments ago, though, that just one pick can be all the difference in a snake draft.
Yeah, I'll give two examples. Last season, as the live drafts came to fruition, Allen Robinson and Mike Evans were pretty much the 7 and 8 number 7 and 8 overall. So if you took Allen Robinson at 7, you got crushed. If you got Mike Evans at 8, you know, you hit a home run.
You were playing deep into, you know, December. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You're right. Just
and
like
I had the same experience, but with a different player. Somebody took Allen Robinson 4th overall. And I got David Johnson 5th, and I want to finish it with the most points in that league.
There you go, right
there.
That
just changes the dynamic. So, I mean, even though early on, that first round, we all know it's, you know, pretty much, there are guys that are going to bust, and you just got to try and avoid that.
You know, it's so funny because last year, Scott, I remember that Allen Robinson was a guy that he was actually screaming up draft boards. Like Allen Robinson went from when we started talking about this in, let's say, May and June to a guy you get in the second round, you're happy to get him, a bust out player. And then he climbed right into that middle of the first round, as Matt is mentioning. And Allen Robinson went in the middle of the first round. People were excited to get Allen Robinson.
Oh, yeah, no. I wanted him, too. I wanted Allen Robinson. I wanted Mike Evans. Evans, those guys that weekend, I couldn't really get.
Yeah, everybody wanted Robinson last year.
Exactly.
Like, you know, just people so down on him this year, and, you know, you can get him in something that's a value. You know, you're seeing him going like the 3rd, 4th round. You know, same with DeAndre Hopkins.
The DeAndre Hopkins is another perfect example. These two guys, to me, these two guys are always similar. Hopkins went even higher than Robinson in most leagues. He's the number 4 wide receiver off the board, if I can remember correctly.
Yeah, Hopkins was the guy last year.
Hopkins was top 5 pick. Why didn't you want him last year? Because of those heavy targets in the first half of the season?
Yeah, those splits that I was looking at, that's something I like to do. I saw that, and it was the volume thing. I did want Evans. I was totally wrong on Allen Robinson, though. I liked Allen Robinson, yeah. So, you know. maybe I was right on Hopkins, but I was dead wrong on Robinson.
On Robinson, I avoided Robinson because I knew regression was coming. I didn't think it was going to be to this level, but I was all in on Hopkins. And I was pulling Evans up the board last year. I felt the big season coming. In the fishbowl, I got a dilemma. I'm like in round eight, and I have one quarterback, and I'm talking about, Jack, it is Deshaun Watson, Sam Bradford, Alex Smith.
Take Bradford.
I knew you were going to say that.
I regret not taking him as my third quarterback.
When should I be taking a third quarterback in that league?
It depends on how it's going.
It like, made me draft Sam Bradford. Man.
Yeah, I wouldn't wait. I waited. I was going to take Bradford in like the seventh or eighth round, but I was like, nah, it's too early to take Bradford.
Right.
And then he went before it came back to me. So I was like, you know what? I should have. I got Hoyer as my third quarterback. But I think that's an advantage. You want to have three quarterbacks. Somebody's going to get hurt too.
Like the top, I'm in the seventh round. I have my two quarterbacks. I own one wide receiver. The top quarterbacks on the board are Deshaun Watson, Sam Bradford, Alex Smith. I mean, this is where I'm at. Should I be taking one of these guys right now?
I'm higher than most on Bradford, but I think this is a team that's becoming a pass heavy team. And I think Bradford's better than people
think.
He's
probably the safest of those. He'll go downfield, obviously, more than Smith. And much as I like Watson, he doesn't have the job right now.
But I understand all of that. But should I be taking my third quarterback before I have my second wide receiver?
No.
I don't know.
I think you can wait. I wait until later, like the 12th round, and I'll, Brian
I'll tell
Hoyer.
You, in my draft,
I don't think I can do that. I, looking at my guys on the board, I can't do that.
Wide receivers, it depends on your league. So wide receivers in my league were there for you. Like
they are. I mean, they're
you know, everybody was going running back, tight end, and quarterback in my league.
This is crazy. I'm going to have to look at the draft. Too many teams have three quarterbacks already. I make a decision. When we come back, we're on TV, and we hit the baseball. And it's time to find out how well our panel knows the pitchers in Major League Baseball. Stick around. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Thursday, July 13th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parsons,
yo,
the king Scott Engel, and Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Salzman. Happy Thursday to you all here in our number two. Proud to be with you here on a Thursday. Of course, this is the Roto Experts in the Morning, and you can purchase the Roto Experts exclusive edge package. It is available right now at rotoexperts.com. Use Sussmania when you check out. You get 20% off. I get money in my pocket, and we all win.
Yeah, I love that. Take care of my man, Sussmania.
Appreciate
what's that code again?
The code is Sussmania.
Sussmania. Sussmania.
I love it. Also, make sure you purchase the Executive Edge package for my man, Corey Parson, the fantasy executive.
It's rocking, son.
It's rocking. He is giving you personalized videos every single day.
Yes, yeah, every single day. Yesterday was talking about Andrew Luck and this bum shoulder and how we going to handle that. So hop in there and get that done. Because I want to see, if I don't see Andrew Luck by the dress rehearsal, that's going to change a lot of the ways I look at the Indianapolis Colts offense.
The problem is you've probably done most of your drafts by the dress rehearsal.
No, I have some after the dress rehearsal.
Yeah, just make it draft sure. Player.
Yeah, no, absolutely. First week, I do personally, Scotty. But I know Corey, I mean, he's been drafting since January.
Yeah.
But he'll draft to like, I've seen Corey do drafts like after the season has started.
Yeah, I do.
Why?
I do. Why? I normally do, huh?
Why?
Because I'm normally in Vegas the first week of the season, and my last draft will probably end right around midnight the last night. And that team, the last team I draft is always a dominant team for some odd reason.
Well, some odd reason. Learned, it's not an odd reason.
Because I've been drafting since February.
You've been drafting since February, and you have the most information now.
Yeah, so there you go. Promo code Frenzy. Get in on the Executive Edge. I got my auction rankings up, my auction values up there, too. And I used them to kick some people ass the other night. It was a bloodbath.
We have a lot of auction strategy talk, of course, in the last hour. So if you're interested in more of that, check it out. On demand, of course, iTunes, wherever you listen to Scotty's Roto Experts at the Park. That's where you can listen to the auction auction values and the auction conversation that we had a little bit earlier on. Coming up here this hour on the program, we are going to talk about my man Devante. And there's a lot of them. There's a lot of my man's named Devante. And we're going to talk about all of them here coming up this hour.
Do you know why?
Yes. You told me this before. I didn't know that, no.
Yeah. Devante Swing from Jonesy.
And also go to Seahawks.com this morning. Oh.
Ah.
Check out, I'm returning for my seventh season on the site.
Nice.
Check out my quarterback primer. And also inside the article is a special promo code for the exclusive Edge package as well.
Now, do you get more than the 20% off that you get with Sussmania?
You have to read the article. Seahawks.com.
I feel like you don't. You Sussmania!
My top 15 quarterback rankings and a complete strategic primer.
All right, there you go.
So there you go. When we come back here...
Oh, you got your quarterback rankings.
Yeah.
I want to hit them.
Okay.
You can read Seahawks.com.
$40.
For you.
When we come back at the
free
program,
on Seahawks.com for everybody else.
We're going to get into some baseball here. I'm going to read some leaders. Let's see what the guys can do. Stick around. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Here we go. We're live here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We are hanging out. What's going on? Thanks for joining us here today on the program. Yeah, you might be glad to be here.
I'm glad to be here.
It's unbelievable.
I'm doing the best I can, Greg.
You know what? You can do better.
I'm doing
that.
You're right.
Thank you. Let's see how well you can do. We've talked a lot. Yes. We've talked a lot about hitters, right? We're doing 5x5 categories this week, and hopefully tomorrow when I'm not around, you guys do ERA and WHIP, perhaps.
I'll think about it.
Fat chance.
Yeah, red zone targets.
I have to rush through this. Yeah. I will. But in front of me here in 2017, I have the top 10 players with wins in baseball. I want to see if you can name them. Scotty, we've let everybody kind of go first here. We'll let you go first right now.
Okay.
Can you name the players? Name one player that's in the top 10 in wins in baseball.
Clayton Kershaw.
He's number one. He's got 14 of them. 14 wins for Clayton Kershaw. 14-2. Remember, he was, for some, Matt and myself included, the number one overall player, leads the MLB in wins. I feel good about that.
Jason Vargas.
Jason Vargas is number two in wins. This is how good these guys are. Number one and two back-to-back. Number two, Jason Vargas, 12-3 on the year. What a year it has been for him. Corey.
Max Scherzer.
Max Scherzer is tied for fifth with like seven other people. He's got 10 wins. Good job over there. Scott.
Alex Wood.
Alex Wood is one of those players that are tied with Max Scherzer at 10 wins.
Big Irvin Santana.
Irvin Santana, another one of those players inside the top five, tied with 10 wins. Corey.
What's on that pitch for Houston name?
Dallas Keuchel's hurt.
Not him.
There's nobody else.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Lance McCullers may be the person you're talking about. He's not in the top 10.
Okay.
Is it okay? Scott.
Chris Sale.
Chris Sale is tied for third with somebody else. He has 11 wins on the season. Matt. This one's crazy. You'll never get this one.
Hold on. I had somebody I just lost.
You're missing number three and a couple of guys here tied at five.
Is Carlos Carrasco on there?
He is. He is tied for... he is tied for 10 wins here with some of the other guys that were named. That's one of the ones you're missing. You're now missing three. Missing three total people into the top 10. Corey Parson.
I know it's not going to be no Mets on there because it's wins.
Dallas Keuchel, by the way, is one win short. He has 9 wins. And Jacob DeGrom, a Met, has 9 as well.
Oh, okay. That's cool. That's nice. That's good for them. I'm going to pass.
You're going to pass. Okay.
Scott. Jimmy Nelson.
Jimmy Nelson is not in there, no.
He just misses, though, right?
no.
He has no points for second place, Scott.
He has eight wins. You're in third.
But this is not a moral victory situation.
You're in third in this competition, right? You're in third in this competition, so you should talk.
Guess what I'm going to be at in December? First in the
MF. We're talking about now.
First in the MF and standards. How about that? How about you get?
How about
the
you starting 0-9 last year?
How about you get the first?
How about
in the
you starting 0-9?
And then you talk to me about winning.
I've been in the standings way before you. You learned from me. I discovered you.
Oh, you stop. Okay, can we stop yelling?
Yeah. No.
Just because you yell doesn't make you right.
Just because you chime in, we didn't ask you.
Michael Fulmer on there?
He is not. Fulmer Friday is not on that list. Unfortunately, he's not inside the top 10. He has 9 wins. He's 1 win short. Corey, back to you.
You're
missing number, tied number
Justin
3.
Verlander.
Justin Verlander's having a terrible year.
Okay.
No points for fifth place, Corey.
Scotty. We'll go around this time. We'll change the category up here.
Antonio Sentisella.
Antonio Sentisella is tied with 9 wins, 1 win short. Good guess, though.
He got hurt, but how about Chase Anderson?
Chase Anderson is not in the list. Chase Anderson is, I don't even know, he's not on the top 50, I don't know, top 30, 40, whatever this is. Okay.
Was Samardzija on there? No?
Samardzija is not in here either. Inside the top 10 with 10 wins, the other two players that are tied with 10 wins, one is Zach Davies. Zach Davies on the year is 10-4, despite the ERA.
He's got more wins than Nelson.
His ERA is 4.9.
I knew some bro had to be on there.
Yeah, I know.
I thought it was Nelson, yeah.
And he thought it was Chase Anderson. 4.9 ERA here for Zach Davies. You know who also has 10 wins? This is crazy. Adam Wainwright.
He was my next guest, actually.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
5.20 ERA, and Waino has 10 wins.
I was teetering on it because, like, you know, he won a lot recently.
Teetering on it?
Yeah.
And tied for third with 11 wins, just one
can you
back.
Do a split on it?
Corey has nothing to add to this baseball
just
conversation
one
except
one win
that.
Back of yeah. Zach Greinke. I'm sorry, of Jason Vargas is Zach Greinke.
Wait,
Greinke's 11-4 with a 2.86 ERA. And listen,
he's been awesome this year.
He's been phenomenal.
It's almost
this year.
like he's quietly been awesome.
Well, you know, it's so interesting because I was not in on him this year. I remember we had a lot of conversations, Scott, you and I, and with Tony as well, getting back in on Zach Greinke. I was like, listen, we're all jumping back in with 2 feet. Like, maybe he's just lost it after last year. Clearly, that's not the case. Had a very nice season.
Yeah, I had him as a top 20 pitcher, and then all that noise at a spring training about the decreased velocity, and I slid him down.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. That is the
Won't
velocity
do that
was down.
Again.
No. Spring training is just that. Garbage. Let's get into the relievers now here when it comes to baseball. Let's talk about the people that are tied in saves. I'm looking for the top 10. There are 11 players tied inside the top 10 with saves. Can you name them? Corey Parson, we'll start with you.
You say our category is saves right?
Yes, sir.
Craig Kimbrell.
Craig Kimbrell, number 4 with 23. Scott.
Greg Holland.
Number 1, 28 saves at the break.
Brandon Kinsler, I think it's one of my favorite categories. I think he has like 24 saves and 24 strikeouts.
He has 24 saves and he has 24 strikeouts. This man is good.
That's good.
Corey?
Oh, it's back on me?
Yes.
Saves. Let's see. Let's go with it. Because you know how I am with closers. It's not my strong point because I don't really like.
Genmar Gomez.
I don't really. That was a good
not
one, man.
Saves.
That was a good one. I'm really not like a big like save guy because you know like I think they ruin fantasy baseball. But what's the guy that we didn't like in the beginning of the season in Pittsburgh?
It's not him. Not him.
Tony Watson.
Okay.
He lost his job. Scott.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Kenley Jansen.
Kenley Jansen is on the list. Jansen's got 21 saves here at the break. Matty.
Alex Colomé.
Alex Colomé, number 2 at 25 saves. Yes, Corey.
Trying to wear his hat to the side.
Yes, Fernando Rodney.
Yeah, Fernando Rodney. There you go.
He's got 22 saves on the year. That is correct. Scott.
Brandon Maurer.
Brandon Maurer makes the list. Despite losing the job briefly.
That was my guess.
Maurer in there at 19 saves.
I think I know another one.
Yes, Matt.
Who took Maurer from me. Give me a second.
One, two, three. You're missing 4 guys right now.
Oh, I think I know one.
5 guys right now, actually.
Knubel.
Corey Knebel is not correct.
Yo, isn't somebody named Kinsler?
I said that.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. My bad. Well, that was good, though. That's like Scott, moral victory.
It also means that Scott, you're not listening.
Yeah, the guy with the hat to the side.
I couldn't think of his name, Scott. Come on now.
Scott.
AJ Ramos.
AJ Ramos is missed the good cut. One. He's number 13. No, sir.
Yeah.
Ken Giles?
There he is, Ken Giles.
Oh, that's
inside.
Who I was thinking about.
Oh, yeah.
That's who I... No, I'm serious. When I said... Ken Giles is a good one. That's the one...
He's 19 saves. You're up again, though, if you'd like.
Oh, well, he took my guy.
No, of course.
Dellin Betances.
No, sir.
Okay.
Jim Johnson.
Jim Johnson's in there. He's got 19 saves. Nice job, Scott. Matt.
There's
three guys
now. Oh.
Wade Davis
is not in there. Wade Davis just misses it at 16 saves.
Hey, what's St. Louis?
Sung-Hwan Oh is just missing the cut at 18. 18.
Darn it.
We're down to two players here. Two players what we're looking for. Mm. Just missed the cut there, Corey.
Roberto Osuna.
That is one of them.
Oh, that's a good one, Scott.
22 yeah. saves. One more guy. You're looking at a guy who has 19 saves.
Kelvin Herrera.
And there he is. Kelvin Herrera, indeed. Kelvin Herrera.
Play for the Royals,
saves,
right?
Plays for the Royals for now until he gets traded to Washington.
That'll be cool.
Yeah, that will be cool. So there you go. Those are the top 10 saves. Nice job, guys. And the last one we will do today is strikeouts. Can we name the top 10 players in strikeouts in Major League Baseball? Matt Modica would be with you.
Robbie Ray
with 141 strikeouts.
Clayton Kershaw
with 159.
Luis Severino
is not on the list.
Really?
Jeff Samardzija
number 10 with 127. Corey.
Max Scherzer
number 2 with 173.
Chris Sale
number 1 178.
Okay, so we said Kershaw, Sale,
and Scherzer, and Robbie Ray, and Jeff Samardzija.
So we got five guys left.
One, two, three, four, five, six guys left. Six. I'm sorry, five guys left. I can't remember Robbie Ray. It's Ray. It's
Chris Archer.
There you go, number 4 at 147. I'm looking for four more here.
I got it in Tower Wars, too. Zach Greinke.
There you go. Zach Greinke's number 6 at 131.
Yeah.
Scott.
Jacob DeGrom.
Jake DeGrom at 130. That is correct. Number 7. Missing two more players here, Matt Modica.
Severino was said, right?
Severino was incorrect.
Oh, well, Corey Kluber.
He's not correct. Oh. He's got 123. Think about it. We'll take a break. When we come back, the final two, and we'll talk to Dr. A from Inside Injuries. Stick around. The Roto Experts in the Morning. We continue on right after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. We always appreciate you watching our videos and our clips on YouTube. And keep on commenting, even though I had a really mean comment yesterday, Corey.
I saw it, yeah.
Yeah, you did.
I got destroyed yesterday. That was funny.
Yeah, they did. They was wondering if you was a male or a chipmunk.
That's what they said about me. So that was harsh. This one I just read to Scott. It was amazing. Why does the oldest gentleman always have a new laptop? Does he break them, or are they trying to find a simple one for him to use?
How closely is somebody watching if they notice they bring different laptops
crazy.
To the studio?
Absolutely.
Well, this
crazy.
One you can't miss. This one is
absolutely. Very, it's very funny. All right. Dr. Ray is on the line. Before we get to him, I'll give you one more guess each, gentlemen. Who
Michael
is in there
Fulmer.
In strikeouts? Michael Fulmer is not correct.
Steven Strasburg.
He is correct. 128. One player is tied with 128. Can you name him, Corey?
For all the marbles?
All the marbles. This is everything.
Yu Darvish.
It is not Yu Darvish. He actually finished number 11.
Let me get one more chance for all the marbles.
Corey.
For all the marbles.
Lance McCullers.
No.
Carlos Martinez.
There it is.
There it is. There you go.
Ring the bell. Carlos Martinez.
Somebody just used a Google during the break.
My computer right here. Don't worry about me,
you got
Scott.
One right.
I'm not,
the whole first
I'm not.
Round.
Don't worry about me, Scott. Let's bring on Dr. A, Greg.
Let's bring in Dr. A. Dr. A, Inside Injuries, our guest at this time. What's going on, Doc?
Good morning, guys. How are y'all doing today?
Oh, we're doing quite well. We're hanging out. We're having fun. It's a Thursday. A lot to be excited about, Doc, and perhaps nothing more so than the return of Mike Trout tomorrow. Mike Trout comes back from his injury. You've been telling me it's too early, but he's back. Am I, can I put him in my lineup and feel safe about it?
No.
Sick.
a torn ulnar collateral ligament, as I said, takes 8 weeks to heal. Grade 3 UCL injury. His injury date was May the 28th. So probably he should be really back at the end of July. You know, is there a chance that it healed quickly? Not statistically. And since the way he plays is pretty aggressive, you know, I would wait till the end of July before, sort of being safe on him in terms of being completely healed. You know that he's edging to come back out and play. It's just a very, very sensitive type of injury. He could come back and not get re-injured, but his performance may not be as great as it was pre-injury. He may be sort of tentative with it. You know, you just don't know when you come back a little bit early. So the main thing here is 2 more weeks, and his numbers are going to improve significantly on our board.
There you go, Mike Trout. 2 more weeks. Let's just keep him healthy, Scotty.
Madison Bumgarner scheduled to come back Saturday for San Francisco, finally against the San Diego Padres, Doc.
Yeah, this was that freak accident, grade 3 AC sprain. It's just one of those things that takes at least 3.5 months to come back from, especially for a pitcher on his throwing shoulder, which is extremely sensitive. The good news is that he used to be at very high risk and poor HPF. Now he's improved, elevated, and below average. I know he's coming back very soon. He needs about 2 more weeks again before getting into that low injury risk category and above average. I didn't hear you guys. Did they say when he's making his next start?
Saturday against San Diego.
I think he's a week too early.
Yeah, right. He's a week too early. A week, a schmeek, whatever.
Hey, Doc, good morning.
Schmeek.
Here's a guy I need to have a big second half, and he just pitched, 2 1/3 innings in rehab. Kyle Hendricks, is he ready to come back for the Cubs?
Yeah, I mean, so right middle finger inflammation, we listed it as a grade 1, probably just a minor strain of one of his tendons in the middle finger. It's not serious, no tear. He was injured on June the 5th. Our algorithm just says 3 weeks of rest, so he should be good to go. Right now he's low and above average, and in about a few days he'll be back to peak. So Kyle Hendricks, for all intents and purposes, we're saying that he's good to go.
There you go. That's what you like to hear. We're talking to Dr. Ray, Inside Injuries. Having to have Doc on here on a Thursday morning. And I'll be honest with you here, Doc. I can't even keep track of Ryan Braun's injuries. He leaves the calves, he leaves the hamstrings, he's got hand problems for days. How healthy as a person is Ryan Braun?
I don't know all of his activities, but I can tell you that this is a guy that I've talked about over and over again, trying to come back too early with a calf injury, re-aggravating it, worsening the injury. And what happens when you play through a re-aggravated injury? Other body parts start to get affected. This will impact him for the rest of the season. Now, if he does not go out, you know, for at least another 6 weeks, he won't heal properly. And you're going to see this the whole year from him in terms of just re-aggravating of this injury or other associated injuries within the lower extremity.
Jason Kipnis hits the DL, Dr. A. They're saying he might miss 3 to 4 weeks.
So Kipnis, we've talked about him before. His injury was on July the 8th. We're listing it as a grade 1 hamstring, which is good because that doesn't mean it's a tear, just a little strain. Our optimal recovery time for that right now is 4 weeks, which is kind of in line with what the team is saying. So, yeah, right now he's high and below average. But if he rests for 4 weeks, he should be good to go back into above average HPF. It'll be a little bit interesting to see if he drops back into low injury risk, because you know, he's had a shoulder sprain and neck stiffness. He's had these little ticky-tack type of injuries. But it'd be very interesting to see if he actually gets back into low. He may just stay at elevated now through the rest of the year, which is something to take note. Again, this is a guy that's you know, elevated and above average before the season. I don't think he's probably not going to get into low. He'll be elevated injury risk like he was before the season.
Hey, Doc, with the Cardinals, it's been a crowded outfield and Tommy Pham. What's the status on him? How long are you thinking? Is he ready to come back?
Yeah, so, you know, hip tightness, is we're classifying it as a grade one injury. Again, not too severe. You know, he was placed on the 60-day DL with on the same extremity in 2015 with a left quad strain, and then an oblique strain on the 15-day DL in 2016. So it's interesting. Everything is on the left side of the body, and especially within the lower extremity kind of core area. And so, you know, he is at elevated injury risk right now and above average, but the optimal recovery time for this type of injury is about three to four weeks. So, you know, if he rests and he stays out for that period of time, he should be back to low injury risk and above average HPF.
By the way, Doc, I know you always talk about this guy trading away Justin Upton. You might want to know that. You're always telling me to, you know, get rid of him because he's constantly getting hurt.
Yes. So you made the move.
Yes.
I want to actually follow up with what you just said, Scotty. We're talking to Dr. A, inside injuries. And he said Doc always wanted to trade away Justin Upton because he was always getting hurt. And we mentioned Ryan Braun, who's had a myriad of injuries, of course. Is it, when we talk, Doc, and you bring it up all the time, high injury, elevated injury risk, guy's out three, you know, should be out for 3 weeks, he comes back in two. We talk about Mike Trout, right? He's coming back 2 weeks early or so. Bumgarner's coming back a week early. Is it fair to say that certain guys are just injury prone? Is calling a guy injury prone, especially as we look through football season, is that a fair characterization?
Yeah, I mean, the classification of injury prone is a fair classification. It's just the way it's a lot of things get, you know, kind of go into that. Genetics is one of them, but how they play the game and what type of position they are playing. You know, they're, you know, certain positions and the way they play cause them to have increased risk of injury, and their whole history of injuries way back from when they were playing in minor league baseball and college and high school and everything. So we take into account everything. So when we tell you a guy is elevated injury risk before the start of the season, it's not just sort of, okay, what he did in the last season. It's the last, it's his whole career that we've been analyzing it. So,
Rob Gronkowski.
To answer your question, injury prone is a general designation, but a lot of stuff goes into it. There's so many factors that can affect it.
Yeah, and you know, not only has Doc said that, but I remember talking to a former NFL player, Hall of Famer, and I said, do you believe that some guys are more injury-prone than others? And he said the same thing that Dr. A said about genetics. He said, it's just some guys' DNA that they have trouble staying healthy more than others.
Yeah, and their style of play. Their definite style of play.
Absolutely. It's a big factor. No question about it. There you go, Dr. A, inside injuries. We appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you next week, Doc.
Absolutely, guys. Have a good one.
There you go, Dr. A from Inside Injuries. Corey, I know you're a big fan of the Inside Injuries app. As you say, Tyler Eifert likes to break the app.
Yeah.
You didn't even ask Doc about that.
No, well, he wasn't set up and prepared for the Tyler Eifert conversation. But, yeah, you put Tyler Eifert in that app, Jack, and you're going to get a virus.
Like a Samsung 7.
Y'all need to stop.
Kind of wrapping up the baseball conversation. Obviously, I'm not going to be around tomorrow or next week. Matt, what was the biggest surprise for you in the first half?
I mean, one of the biggest surprises was Alex Wood, how dominant he was. I mean, look, I thought he'd be good, but this guy has pitched phenomenal. The ground ball percentage, the ERA, the strikeouts. I mean, if you just do a deep dive on this guy, I know he only has like the 80 innings, but he doesn't like qualify for most. But it's just, he's been one of the remarkable stories of the first half.
It's funny because I remember we sat here and Alex Wood was not in the rotation. You're like, you know what? I'm going to draft him anyway. Whatever. I want every Dodgers starter. Somebody's going to be good. You're right. It was Alex Wood. Scotty, what about
you? Real quick, just four storylines. Greg Holland.
Yep.
The domination. Cameron Maybin's breakout. the unexpected power and average from Justin Smoak, and just the regular excellent play of Jason Vargas.
There you go. Four storylines to watch from the King. When we come back, we'll check in on the Devontaes. Stick around. It's Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one where you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engle, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
Marty Marr on the track.
Hanging out here with you, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Thursday edition of the show. Thank you, Sir Dr. Ray, for joining us. Now, guys, we've talked about tiebreakers earlier. Not actual tiebreakers, just guys that start with Ty, T.Y. Hilton, Ty Montgomery. Yesterday, we talked about all the Williams in the NFL, mostly all these young guys coming into the league. Now I wanted to get into here with you one of my favorite ones, which is the Devontaes. And Corey, when we did Next Week in Fantasy last year, we did a segment on the Devontaes. And
yep.
It's only gotten really more.
There's more.
There's more.
They keep, well, does it? Children are being born.
Now, are we just doing Devontaes, Devonta?
All of them. Okay, and I think I might have actually put a Donta in here.
Donta Foreman,
that's why he's in here. We could also do anything with like DeAndre Hopkins, for instance. So, you know, we're having some fun with it. I mentioned him before. I wanted to start with him again, and that's Davante Adams. Now, Davante Adams came into his own, and Scott, you told me a lot about when everyone busted on Davante Adams a couple seasons ago.
Yeah.
He's not the same receiver anymore. He has gained Aaron Rodgers' trust. He is just a better route runner, a better receiver in general. He's simply gotten better. So everyone that was out of Davante Adams just a year ago, they all kind of come back around. I mentioned Adams because he's the guy I'm targeting with my next pick in Scotty's Fishbowl. And
what round you in?
Seven.
Wow.
Yeah.
You don't have to draft wide receivers in the fishbowl. You really don't.
Correct. I drafted them. Allen Robinson as my first wide receiver one round ago.
That's crazy. Nice.
Thanks. So I'm looking at Davante Adams, and he's somebody that I think, and I've kind of come around to this, and you guys see me fall in love with players, in and out of love with players. I think Davante Adams is one of these guys I'm in on here in 2017. Now, we talked a lot about him a couple of weeks ago. I know things do tend to change. Scott, Davante Adams, you had told me previously pretty high on. Is that still the case?
Yeah, it is. We did our Roto Expert standard mock. He was my second round pick.
Oh, your second round. Oh, wow. So you're really high on him.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, in terms of the touchdowns, etc. You know, this team is going to throw the football a ton again this year. He is the clear 1A in that offense. The defense is still not going to be good. They're going to be involved in a lot of shootouts, and the connection is there. I can see the number of catches actually going up a little bit. I'm totally in on Davante Adams.
You mentioned Davante Adams. You took him in the second round of the Roto Expert Standard Mock. Who did you leave on the board?
I would have to go
I'll pull that up. I'll pull that up.
All right, you can pull that up.
Well, see, I like Davante Adams a lot, too. But I look at it as, you know, if the touchdowns aren't there, you know, he had 12 touchdowns last year. That gives me a little concern. And I look at a guy like Terrell Pryor, who's moving to a better offense, a better quarterback. I find these guys to be really close. And I know some people are going to say, look, it's Aaron Rodgers. Look, Jordy Nelson's still the guy. And I do like Adams. But he's a guy that I kind of go back and forth on. He's definitely a number two for me. I just don't want to push him up too much. If I had to choose between Adams or Pryor, I think I might go Pryor because I think Pryor's touchdowns are going to go up this year. One of the main things was the Redskins were inefficient inside the 20, And Jamison Crowder, I think, had like 16 targets inside the 20, only 3 touchdowns. That's going to change. That's what they're looking to do. This is a big dude. This is an athletic freak. And I think he's going to become one of the red zone targets for them. So it's close for me, but I think I would go that way.
Here are some of the receivers I left on the board. DeAndre Hopkins, who I took with the next pick. Amari Cooper, Doug Baldwin, Allen Robinson, Alshon Jeffrey, Terrell Pryor, Sammy Watkins.
I would have took Baldwin. Baldwin, without a doubt.
Yeah, me in a touchdown league, I think Adams is going to score more touchdowns than Baldwin.
I think Baldwin gets a 10 this year. He had 7 last year.
I think with Lacy there, you know, being more of a red zone guy.
I think you're getting drunk at Eddie Lacy.
They're readjusting their offense to be more efficient in the red zone. And you're going to see more throws to Graham. You're going to see handoffs to a guy like Lacy. So I think he's probably not going to score 10 this year.
Corey, I know that you have kind of not called out, but like everyone is drafting Terrell Pryor a little bit higher, I know, than you were ready to do it.
Yeah.
Matt Beasley said, listen, I'm in on Terrell Pryor. Is that surprising to you?
No, it's not. I'm sitting with him here for a couple months now, hearing him talk up Terrell Pryor. So I don't, you know. Like I said, Terrell Pryor, I think that, you know, the hype train is a little bit getting out of hand right now. I will have some shares. I'm not going to be overexposed to Terrell Pryor. I like him in the standard, so I'll probably buy him in the flex in, you know, about 3 or 4 weeks from now when we go down to D.C. for that joint. So I look at it that way with Terrell Pryor, with TP. I'm not paying that big second, third round price. If I can snag him on that 3-4 turn, that's about where I would like to see Terrell Pryor at. Because I do think he's going to be able to get some targets in the red zone and stuff like that. But Matt also makes a point. If Devontae Adams' touchdowns don't come back, then that's a huge risk in round number 2 if those touchdowns are not there. So, you know, you can look at it either way.
You know, it's interesting. I've been talking about these beat guys. I've been reading, you know, like their team previews and stuff like that. The one for Cleveland said Terrell Pryor, the Browns are going to regret letting him get away.
His
arrow is pointing up even from last year.
Nobody wants Youngstown to play boy. In Cleveland that he wanted to play.
Youngstown boy.
Youngstown yeah. boy.
You said, but I remember, Corey, you said it wasn't the worst thing to get him out of Cleveland.
No, I mean, I don't know what he's like now. You feel what I'm saying? I don't know what the situation is now, what's going on out there. So, I mean, he's been there his whole life. So at some point, you want to go someplace else.
Well,
you feel what I'm saying?
He bounced around the league a little bit to Oakland. And
he did have a year in Oakland. That's right.
Oakland, Cincinnati. I mean, yeah. He was bounced around the league.
But I just found it odd that there was actually a player that wanted to play in Cleveland. And they let him go.
Yeah.
It's so true.
And they give Kenny Britt the same contract
the money
for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question about it. Okay, so that's Devontae Adams. Now, the other Devontae that I'm going to quickly get through is your Devontae here.
Which one?
Devontae Booker.
Yeah, that's my guy. Going for a song in drafts right now. One thing I will tell you about Devontae Booker, if he was just stashing cash last year when Anderson got hurt, you know, he was terrible. And under four yards a pop. But here's the thing. He caught 31 passes. All the talk you had at Denver is how they're going to throw the football this year. And the offensive line is better. He still has a strong push next to the goal line. I think he rebounds. That's a starting running back that you're getting right now undrafted. If you already had an early draft, a 16-round draft, Devontae Booker is probably on your waiver wire. Pick him up before week one and you'll win the championship.
I hope you're right, Corey, because I have him in like every draft champion.
He's going too cheap.
I even got him in the fishbowl.
Yeah.
I think 15-4 was the selection
you're
I made.
You're in the 15th
him.
Round of your fishbowl?
I'm in
crazy.
The 18th.
Wow, are you in the 18th?
I'm in the 20th.
I'm in the 2nd.
Yeah. No,
second.
And like you said, they
seriously,
got.
I'm in the 7th.
And like you said, they got Ronald Leary. So.
Yeah, they got Ron. They bring Big Ron in there. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to cost you nothing to get Devontae Booker, so do it.
Speaking of fishbowl, I'm actually looking at trends here. It's so interesting. Like, there are teams that have either one wide receiver, no wide receivers, teams with 3 and 4 running backs at this point. And I'm sitting here.
Oh, see, I think that could be a mistake.
Okay.
Sometimes you're passing over excellent, elite wide receivers who are going to have yardage and touchdowns. That still matters. And I think people sometimes will pass up that for, say, a lesser running back.
I ended up with 3 rookie running backs so far. Dalvin Cook, Kareem Hunt, and Jamal Williams.
You skipped a wide
and Eddie Lacy.
And Eddie Lacy.
No, I said rookie.
I
know. We just got with this playing around.
All right, so that's
I realized that.
That's Devontae Booker. What about the lightning rod that is Devontae Parker, guys? I know you just drafted him in Fishbowl.
Yeah, I think for me, he's a, you know, he's a wide receiver 3, more on the low end. And he's a guy that, you know, he could be a home run pick. I'm not going to overpay for him, But I do want shares. I think the talent is, you know, this is he's a phenomenal talent. Does it all come together? I'm not buying that year three kind of thing, but I do think if Tannehill can get him the ball, we can see really good things from him.
Parker is maybe the most talented receiver on that roster, just in terms of pure talent. But you know you can depend on Landry. Stills has his role, which is to get open downfield. And if he can break open, Tannehill's going to hit him. Parker, the problem is where does he fit? Where is his role? And two, you know, we already talked with Dr. A about some guys genetically or just, you know, in some guys' DNA that they can't stay healthy. Devontae Parker hasn't given us the confidence that he can stay on the field to show his talent enough.
But isn't, and so I understand the limitations of Ryan Tannehill. I understand exactly what Scott's saying as well in regards to the limitations of Devontae Parker just being able to get out there. But on the other side of that, and maybe this is optimistic, but I've spoken about getting the players that are just your veterans and solid, and then having the ability to take a shot and getting a really high upside player.
And for his price.
And for his price this year, because I think a lot of people feel burned by him over the last 2 years, Corey being one of them. Like, I think that with his price this year, I think Devontae Parker is one of these higher upside guys that you can get for not nearly at the price.
What's his price, though? His price is not depressed enough, in my opinion.
Where does it have to get to?
Huh?
Where does it have to get to?
He has to get to an 8th-round ADP.
So, currently on Fantasy Pros, and I'm actually looking at NFFC right now, currently on Fantasy Pros, Devontae Parker is number 95 overall. Okay. Wide receiver 37. So he's there.
Matt, where you got him at, Matt?
He is, this is in the redrafts, it's not best ball, redrafts for NFFC. He is the 34th wide receiver off the board at 63. So that's a high price.
63 is the beginning.
That's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
That's a little high for me.
If he's there in ninth like that and he's on my bench, I'll do that. It's not him. The talent, I think it will all come together.
Well,
with the injuries, it's Ryan Tannehill, son.
Let's just play this game with receivers around him.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got you too. Pierre Garçon or Devontae Parker?
Oh, easily Pierre Garçon catch 90 balls out there in San Fran.
I'm gonna take Garçon because he's the lead guy there. But
Scott,
I agree with Matt.
I wanted him to say that anyway. Yeah.
Why do you do that?
Oh, come on. Nobody can fool around.
Yo, that's wild. So that's the situation right there. I worry about Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill's a bum, son. You feel what I'm saying?
That's not nice.
Dante Moncrief for Devontae Parker.
Dante Moncrief, easily.
That's not nice to call him a bum.
I'll take Moncrief as well.
He is.
Scott?
We can get back.
What's that?
We'll come back and wrap up the program. Cut up next.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Final five minutes here. Program, five minutes of my week. I'm out of here. Feeling good on a Thursday.
You're going to go meet Trump in Europe.
I'm going to go meet Trump in Europe because why would I ever want to leave trip. Where our president is?
Melania.
I'll be there with her. We're back here.
First Lady, Greg. That's not nice.
What? I didn't say anything. We were talking about Devontae Parker a moment ago. And Scott, you never answered the question. Devontae Parker or Dante Moncrief?
Dante Moncrief. I was just talking with Matt during the break. It's like I'm not even thinking Devontae Parker until double figure rounds.
Double figure. Wow. So you're not getting him.
You're not gonna have him.
I'm not. He's not gonna be. He's not going to be in any Royal locker rooms this year.
Maybe he'll play for a winner.
Really? Like your team that starts 0-9?
There you go. Yeah. Matt, what is you? I feel like you got something against Dante Moncrief.
You know what? I don't want to say I was burned. You know, I had him last year. I will give him the mullet. I don't really have much against him because I have Parker 35, Moncrief 36. So they're side by side, but given the chance, I'm going to take Parker.
That's a scary situation, though, in Indianapolis, because you're not only talking about he's coming from the shoulder surgery. Over the last 2 years, he had the kidney issue. He had the concussion. This guy's missed. And Andrew Luck's missed a lot of time over the last 2 years.
If he didn't have those six touchdowns, then you know his season was a total bust.
But I think he only played in 9 games though, Matt.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people expect him to be the red zone target he was.
I think Jack Doyle's gonna usurp some touchdowns from him. Or maybe I'm wrong on that, but that, I'm looking at that. I think you got guys like Aiken coming in. I'm not saying he's not talented.
I don't think Aiken can push Moncrief. Aiken pushes Dorsett, yes, not Moncrief.
No, you're right on that. Yeah. But I'm just saying there's other I think there's more talent out there. I just think he really needs to step up. For me, I have him 36. I'm not saying I don't like him at all.
I feel you.
I'm saying I like Devontae Parker better. I think if I'm going to take that shot, I think Devontae Parker is a better chance.
I don't get that because the Colts have a much better quarterback than the Dolphins do.
Yes, they have a much better quarterback. But, it's T.Y. Hilton's world. T.Y. Hilton is the man. You are super high on Hilton. And
it's Jarvis Landry's world in Miami, though.
But the thing about it is Parker's a better player than Jarvis Landry is.
But
Jarvis Landry is the... for PPR, I love him.
Yeah.
And he's going to get receptions. But I think Jarvis Landry might dip a little, and I can see Parker taking a big step up.
Yeah, for me with Parker, it's like he's injury prone. He's got Alex Smith Southeast as his quarterback.
I love that.
I got to see it. Moncrief, to me, can only get better. He proved he was a red zone target. If Luck can stay healthy and it can open up things more, I think he can show more as a downfield threat.
12 red zone targets in 2015, 10 red zone targets last year. So it's like, they look for him in that area of the field. That's a part of the offense.
Yeah, and where you look for Devontae Parker is the trainer's room.
Listen, I tweeted out last night that Dante Moncrief had six receptions in the
10-yard line.
10-yard line, six touchdowns. So that happened. But is that definitely going to happen again this year? I'm not sold on that. And like I said, these are two guys I have.
I look at that as a trend. To me, that says that's something that's in their offense that's been the same for years now. They like him in that. They like him down there. Whatever he's doing down there, he's getting open and Luck is finding him, and the defense is not figuring it out yet. That's what I think. I don't think that's an accident.
I don't think we've seen the best of each player yet because Parker has been hurt, and I think Moncrief has more to show what he can do outside the 20s.
Yeah, real quick, just I bring these two guys up because I have them side by side in my rankings, and they're pretty much going side by side according to NFFC ADP. And I'm just saying, I'd rather take the Parker because I think that's the home run right there.
All right.
That's going to do it for us. More information on this, I'm sure, coming up next on the Fantasy Football Frenzy. For Matt Modica, for Corey Parsons, for the King, Scott Angle, my name is Greg Sussman. Thank you so much for watching and listening to the Roto Experts in the Morning. Coming up next, Fantasy Football Frenzy. Have a fantastic Thursday. And these guys, I'll see you tomorrow. I'll see you in a couple of weeks. Peace!